Hello, everyone. Welcome to Seen That, the podcast where we talk about cult and classic movies we haven't seen until now. In this week's episode, we are discussing Borat and why Haley.
Hi, everyone.
Hasn't seen that. Can't believe it. And much, much more. We hope you all enjoy. I was really not shocked, but it was sort of somewhat impressive how much we talked about Wonder Woman last week.
It was. I always knew I had a lot of thoughts on it, but I had, I guess, a lot of maybe negative thoughts. I mean, I think we did a good review, but
yeah,
I was surprised that, wow, we talked about this movie for quite some time and could have gone on longer. So that was surprising.
No, exactly. And I think we both sort of after the fact were like, should we have said this? Should we have said that? You know, like that movie, surprisingly, for not having a whole lot to say, we had a whole lot to say about it.
Yes, we did.
Which I find kind of funny and interesting. I feel like this movie, Borat, what we're about to talk about, is sort of the opposite. It has a lot to say, and I'm not sure we have a whole lot to add.
I know.
But I'm glad we're going to be
talking
about it.
I'm not sure what to say about it. My notes are literally just like the list of scenes that happened in the movie. I'm like,
same.
He's in this place. They went here. Ha ha. Like, those are what my notes look like. So this should be really interesting to figure out this episode.
Exactly. All right. So I think, do you have any updates on shows you're watching, things we want our listeners to know about? Anything to be note of?
Well, nothing that comes to mind. Just, I guess, you know, in terms of the podcast, you know, we're kind of learning as we go. So our Instagram is going to start to hopefully be beefed up a little bit. It's going to start to look a little better. It's at Seen That Pod. And we'll plug it again at the end of the episode, you guys. But just, we are seeing this as a project that will evolve as we do, and we'll evolve as we get better at this and are like, oh, we should have done that before. So that's where we're at.
As we always say, or no, we don't always say, so I'll say it now. we're a work in progress. So constantly changing, whether drastic or subtle, but we are evolving, like you said. So again, anytime people have recommendations or suggestions for us, movies they think we should talk about, things they would like us to add into our episodes.
Yeah, DM the podcast. We'll get it. And
text us. Chances are you have our number, so you can just let us know that way.
That's true.
All right. I think we're ready to start this. So
yeah,
we're talking today again about Borat. Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan is the official title.
I did not even know that was the official title.
It is. But everyone calls it Borat.
Yeah.
It came out in 2006, so 15 years ago. It was made on a budget of $18 million, which, looking at the movie, watching the movie, that does not seem... like, how did they need $18 million to do all that stuff? It seems so low budget, but that's the whole point.
Know.
It's meant to look... it was like, it was made on a shoestring budget, and that's something they keep bringing up throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess clever, you know, good filmmaking on their part, because it really doesn't show like it was an $18 million movie.
No.
And it made over $200 million. It made $262.6 million.
I mean, it was a big... I remember it being like a big thing, which we'll
huge.
Definitely get into, but
yeah,
it was a big thing.
Yeah, it was directed by Larry Charles. I was kind of surprised. I was like, I thought Sacha Baron Cohen was all over this, and he was, but
oh,
he didn't fill every single chair.
Interesting.
He filled some. So yeah, directed by Larry Charles, produced by Jay Roach and Sacha Baron Cohen. It was written by Sacha Baron Cohen and a bunch of other people. I probably should mention them, but
There's a lot probably on the list.
There's like three more. And I think for all intents and purposes, the fact that Sasha wrote it is really what people care about or want.
I thought you were going to say like there's like seven or ten. You're like, there's three.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen and three other people.
Yeah.
And it stars Sacha Baron Cohen as well as Ken Davialton. His producer. I'm totally screwing up his name, so my apologies. And then Luanel, I think is her name.
Oh my god, I loved her!
Yes. And then, of course, Pamela Anderson. So...
Okay, yeah. Well, I have questions now that I'm thinking of as we talk about this, so... I'm ready to dive in.
Just a quick summary. It's about a roving journalist and the sixth most famous person from his native Kazakhstan, Borat Salgadev. Sagadev?
I don't even know.
I didn't write his name down.
He
definitely says it several times. Borat Salgadev travels to the United States to learn about American culture with hilarious results. And you can stream this pretty much everywhere. You'll most likely need to pay for it. It was around $4. I watched it on YouTube TV or through YouTube. But Hulu has it. Stars, if you have a subscription to their service, you can watch it. Mm-hmm. Prime, you know, go down the list. It's available, but it's most likely a $4 purchase, which if you really want to watch it, it's worth it.
Yeah, I did make that $4 purchase. And I did. I had that moment where I was like, HD, I guess so.
Yeah. So when Borat came out 15 years ago, we were 12. So not That's the target crazy. Audience for this movie. But
I would imagine not.
I remember it being huge in 2006. And mockumentary style film and TV, I think more film than TV, were becoming quite popular. And I don't know if this movie, something maybe we can talk about later, sort of influenced that, but this I think is one of the staples of mockumentary style, you know, art film. So knowing how big it was back then, because I'm sure you were aware of how popular it was,
definitely,
and knowing that growing trend of mockumentary style, and then all the sayings, all the quotes that were being thrown around by people at school and by friends. Why, Haley, did it take you 15 years to see this? Why hadn't you seen that?
I feel like normally my answer to this question is I don't know. And I feel like it's actually different this time around. I felt like it just wasn't the type of humor that I thought I would like or I thought would be funny. And honestly, maybe 15 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, I wasn't as much of a like student of comedy that I am now. Not that I'm funny or do anything like that, but like I watch a lot of stand-up and I just, you know, enjoy listening to comedians and obviously watching funny movies and TV. And so I don't know if I would have been as like gung-ho to see it 10 years ago, and I definitely like, not that I was actively avoiding it, but I didn't seek it out, so I was never like, oh yeah, I'm in the mood to like try to watch this, because I just kind of thought the humor was too much for me. I kind of thought like there was going to be a lot of I guess sort of dumb humor. I thought there was going to be a lot more like, and Step Brothers is really funny, so this isn't a slap on that, but like I thought it was going to be a lot more like Step Brothers in that, like, in the way that they're like nude or using their bodies or just like I thought it was going to be that like a lot. And I only now kind of truly understand the nuance. I feel like 15 years ago, for sure, I definitely wouldn't have understood it. So that's kind of why I avoided it, because I was like, oh, it's probably like gross and he's just like dumb, and I just didn't really know what it was, and I thought the humor was going to be beyond me.
That makes a lot of sense though. I think from what I, before I saw it, I was sort of turned off to seeing it because of all the constant gags being regurgitated by our male counterparts at school.
Yes. In a way that it was like very big.
I like the way you're saying that, and you're kind of gross, so I don't know if I, like, that's kind of mean, I understand, but it was sort of just like guilt by association. Like, so many boys, I feel like, were quoting that movie, and it just became a very kind of bro-y movie for a time.
Yeah.
At least for me. Maybe I don't want to project, you know, my impressions onto you, but like, I sort of associated it with just bro culture, which is interesting given what it critiques in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was definitely a reason I didn't seek it out. So I can kind of understand it, I think the way it was advertised, it looked ridiculous. It looked kind of dumb and gross and not actually as smart as I think it is.
Yeah, I feel like this movie and the new one, I'm just surprised that no one ever really talks about this as being kind of smart.
Yeah.
And I just was like, wait, why did everyone fail to tell me that? Like, you know, I don't know. I agree with your point about it sort of being bro-y. It was sort of like, well, we were really young when this came out. So I think either some kids who, like, it was really crazy that they, like, got to see it, or someone, like, yeah. I don't know. I guess someone maybe eventually had a DVD. Like, it was, I mean, they must have. But it was, like, just that idea that, like, oh, we've seen this movie that's so crazy. It was rated R. It was, like, you know, yeah, when we were so young. And, again, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that it was a rated R that, like, turned me off to it. It was just that, like, again, I didn't understand the humor, and the people surrounding us at the time who were, like, fans of the movie, I also think weren't getting the humor, and they were, like, just taking it at face value. And
yes.
And whatever I think I may have heard, you know, media-wise back then, it's so funny to, like, think about that, because I'm like, well, I didn't have, like, Instagram, or maybe I had Facebook, like, you know. So I was like, where was I getting this news? It was basically just, I guess, from, like, word of mouth and what people were saying about it. So, that was kind of a turnoff, and people weren't actually, like, taking you through it. But also, we were 12, so I definitely wouldn't have understood that. And none of our classmates probably would have understood that either. So, to be fair to them.
Yeah, they definitely just picked up on the yeshimesh. Great success. Yeah. Like, you know,
great
they just
success. Yeah.
I like you. I like sex.
And my wife. Yeah, that's like the only stuff I knew.
Right.
I might be answering one of the next questions. I'm sorry, but that was like the only stuff I knew about it. Like, my wife. And I was like, why is that funny?
It's like you'd be walking down the hallway and hear some, usually a boy, go like, yeshimesh. Or some other quote from the movie. But yeah, let's get into the other questions. So what were your impressions, I guess, going off of what you kind of just said before you saw it?
Yeah, so going back on what I've said in previous podcasts, I did watch the second movie
before?
I know.
What?
I know, I'm sorry. Not like knowing that we were going to do it for the podcast. I just watched it like kind of when it came out last year, and that was only last year. Oh my God. So I watched it when it came out last year.
This is technically, sorry to interrupt, but quickly, this is technically the second movie we're doing where the sequel came out in 2020. Wonder Woman 84 came out in 2020, and Borat 2 came out in 2020.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Two for two. Sorry,
yes,
go ahead.
That is probably also the impetus for both of those original movies, this one included, being in the podcast, I think. Blah. So getting my thoughts together again. Yeah, so I'd seen the second movie going into it. And I guess I'll kind of speak a little bit to my thoughts going into that, which was, again, not knowing like anything really about Borat, just having the same feelings that I was saying to you before about thinking that it was just going to be really stupid. Like, I wasn't sure what the humor was because no one, you know, after I'd seen it, I realized no one had really explained it well. And I'm not sure we're the people that are going to do that. But I, you know, was really surprised when I saw the second movie. So going into this one, I was excited to see, I was like, oh, like what is going to be sort of the commentary on like 15 years ago? What's going to be the, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? And yeah, also I feel like, you know, things I had thought about the first movie was that it was, you know, controversial in terms of like people either loved it or hated it, or like it was so almost polarizing in that like,
fair.
That's yeah.
That's, yeah.
In a way that was like, I wish I had the words to, but it just always seemed like, you know, people again, like loved it and had watched it and thought it was really funny, or were like just opting out and were like, that kind of humor is not for me. And again, I think people were taking it at like face value maybe. So, and I think also I was confusing it like at sometimes with Bruno, like before I'd seen the second movie. I think which I haven't seen Bruno either. So I was like conflating the two, and I was like, these are going to be both like stupid and ridiculous. And I just, that seemed too far out of the way for me. So I was like, I don't know. It just never seemed like I wanted to go there.
That again, though, is totally fair because Bruno comes out, I think, what, 2009? So only 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I've seen Bruno. It's different, but it's also the same. I think it's more the same than it is different. It's kind of the same shtick, but just different character. And
oh, weird.
It's, in a way, I'm like, how did you get away playing him when Borat became what it became?
Yeah.
And by then, I would have thought people would have been onto you and your shtick and your charade that you are Sacha Baron Cohen, not this Austrian gay fashion reporter.
Yeah. That's crazy that they got away with that.
Right.
And I also was like, yeah, that's something that I just didn't know going into any of these. Like, I had no idea what the style was, like, or what the plot line was. And I was like, oh, is this all real people? Like, probably halfway through my watch of the second movie, I was like, I would just scream at the TV. Like, I was like, this can't be real. Like, this is insane. So I found that really impressive. But I was also like, yeah, how is anyone not recognizing him? But I don't know, it's been so long. But I don't know. It's just so wild to me.
What is interesting is that I was saying that when I rewatched this and while I was watching it for the first time was, oh my God, how do you not realize this isn't real? But I haven't seen the second Borat. I don't know if you would want to do a part two, technically.
We should. That'd be interesting because, like, then, you know, I'm doing part one, you're doing part two. So that would be really fun.
Yeah, I haven't. And so that's going back to what I mentioned earlier. I've been thinking that knowing Borat 2 came out, it's like, how did he get away? It's been 15 years. Everybody knows Borat at this point. They know the character.
I know. Even if you don't know, like, really what Sacha Baron Cohen looks like or just, you know, his likeness,
right.
I feel like you'd know the name Borat.
And right. It's in our lexicon now.
I mean, yeah, I definitely don't want to spoil it for you, but the second one is fantastic. And
really? You think it's fantastic?
I really thought, having now seen both of them, that the second one really has sort of a lot of lessons. Again, they're very similar in the way that they're done, the, you know, mockumentary style, whatever. The second one, I think, is great because of the daughter character that is in it.
Yeah, I've heard she
was. And that actress does a phenomenal job. And also the lessons of what they were like getting at, I think, was a lot clearer in the second movie. You know, things that they were kind of trying to turn on their heads and jokes that were trying to point out flaws in our country. I thought that that was like much clearer in the second movie than in the first movie, having seen both. But
interesting. Yeah, I'm
that's why I really liked it.
That's really interesting because people I know that saw it did not have that reaction, and the reviews that I read were not that positive. So I'm more curious now to see the movie. So maybe we should do a Borat part two, maybe next season or something. I know,
that would be really fun.
So, okay, knowing you really liked the second one then,
yeah,
what did you think of this one, the original?
I still really liked this one a lot. There was a lot of times when I, you know, was laughing out loud. It is very funny. I just think, yeah, again, the lessons in the second one are sort of more clear. But it is so funny to kind of almost look back. But the way that this is done also, like some things don't hold up, but other things, I feel like it's very much of the now still. And like, you know, certain scenes where when he's at the rodeo and this one like older gentleman is like talking about how he should shave his mustache because, I mean, you know, that's problematic, but I feel like that point, I guess, is still relevant now just in terms of how like intolerant people are in this country, or the people that have sort of come out of the woodwork recently. It sort of just like drove into my mind. I'm like, oh my God, they've always been here and they're here. And like, that's 15 years later. It's like, that was like what I was thinking. I'm like, ah, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a bit of a scary thought. So interesting that you say certain things don't hold up. And I know it's sort of a question we almost always ask, and in asking it sort of now, I want to challenge you if you're okay with that, because I view this on the second, like, this is only the second time I've seen it in watching it for this episode. I viewed it as, this is a critique on America. This is sort of an expose on the shit people believe and spout and think is okay, and the cultural norms we've adopted, and, you know, yeah, there are certain ills that are either out in the open that people don't realize, or are more subtle but are there. And knowing Borat is who Borat is, and that it's really all a joke on the people he's with for the most part, not every single person he's with, like the family, the Jewish couple that takes him in, I felt so bad for them.
I know,
they were,
I really
the
did.
Sweetest, cutest people. Sacha Baron Cohen is Jewish as well, and so it's like, watching that scene, I can laugh more than I can cringe, because I know at the end of the day, it is just meant for laughs, and to kind of show the ridiculous stereotypes people have of Jewish people, which are evil and wrong, but knowing he is Jewish, I would argue he's got more of a ground to stand on and display that than maybe somebody else who isn't.
Oh, yeah.
But I view this movie as a total, expose, look at this ridiculousness, and these are real people, and these are their real thoughts and opinions on things, and how potentially harmful and awful these feelings and opinions are, but done in a funny way that we can, as the audience, be in on the joke. And so for me, anything that is cringeworthy or just like downright ridiculous, insane, so obviously sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, you name it, can kind of not be ignored, of course, because it's right there, but can be laughed at because you know you're in on the joke, because you know that they're really trying to show that this is wrong.
Right. And I think that's where, I think that is totally where people get thrown off on how to talk about this movie, because either you can't repeat all the jokes, or like you can't explain them. And also, honestly, if certain jokes don't land for you, you're like, if you're aware, you're like, wait, why do I not feel this way? Or like, you know, I feel like that's where some people get uncomfortable with it, because it's like, you know, like the year 2020, it was pointing out a lot of the issues of this country. And even if you believe that all of those issues are issues and that need to be fixed, you know, it's still a little uncomfortable to like have it right there in front of you. So, yeah, that's just that. But I agree with your statement of it being like an expose pointing out like different things about the country. And I feel like no one had ever said that to me in the explanation of describing the movie or, you know, getting me to watch it. So I feel like that would have gotten me to watch it much sooner.
Right. Which I feel like is unfortunately the common scenario. It's way more fun to tell people Borat is this ridiculous dude from Kazakhstan who wears a banana hammock bathing suit and tries, you know, to kidnap and marry Pamela Anderson. Like, that's more of a fun, easy to wrap your head around, though it's ridiculous, plot line than this, you know, foreigner comes to America and observes and learns our culture in a way that makes it should make us more critical than you know, feel comfortable, or I said that weird. It should make us more critical of our culture than feeling like we're some great fucking nation, because we're not.
Right. I, oh my gosh, just a scene that's like sticking out to me that I like forgot about. The when he is at the rodeo and he's singing. I felt bad for him. A lot of times I did, but I felt bad for him because I was like, he said on the microphone, he was like, I'm gonna sing the Kazakhstan national anthem, even though that's definitely not what the fuck it is, but he was like, I'm gonna sing my national anthem to the tune of your national anthem. And like,
so inclusive.
I know he picked those lyrics to like get at those people, but I was just like, I guess that just points out to me like just how, and I'm not saying it's bad, but like just how different, you know, people in this country feel about certain things like the national anthem. Like to me, if he had said those two disclaimers, I would be like, all right, this guy is really weird, but I would never think to boo him. And then everyone's booing him. And I'm like, it's because they like are really like, they don't want to hear those lyrics over our national anthem, and they don't want to hear Kazakhstan is the greatest nation. Like, it's just, it's so, ugh.
Right, and I think it's sort of interesting, too, how easily people can turn on you. Like, this is sort of maybe a broader point, but how, like, seconds before, they're like, fuck yeah, we're gonna drink the blood of all the people in Iraq. Like, really awful shit. That, again, Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat is trying to, like, show the viewer, like, if I say this shit, they agree with me.
Yeah.
And it's awful. And then 10 seconds later, they're booing him.
Yeah. That's like a micro. That was like before cancel culture even existed.
Right.
It's like just this little micro dose of just this like, we love you. We love you. We love you. We're obsessed with you. You said one thing wrong or one thing against us.
Right. You're
screw
out.
Screw you. You're out. Yeah.
The shot too of that horse just falling, I thought was perfect too, because it's like, what a complete like clusterfuck this has become.
I know. Oh my gosh.
I just, that the symbolism wasn't lost on me there. I'm curious though if there's anything specific in the movie that you find doesn't hold up or that shouldn't be included, because in my view, it was all awful to begin with. Like, all of that shit was awful back in 2006.
Yeah.
And so it's just as bad now, maybe even worse. But I don't know if there's anything you need to take out, because in my opinion, it's all still showing a constructive and critical look at our culture.
Yeah, I don't think anything I saw, I was like, oh, that they shouldn't have put it. I never had that thought. I think things that I only say don't age well just because of, I think, how far we've come, hopefully. Like, a lot of the gay jokes in this movie, I think we'd mentioned this in, I forget which other episode, but I think it was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, with the like, those aren't pillows, or when he like kisses him.
Right.
I think it doesn't land as much now, just because, you know, gay people and the LGBTQIA plus community has made such strides in this country. And like, I mean, I know there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of haters out there, but, and haters is a light, nice word to call them, but there's a lot of awful people out there, but I think, you know, that community has come so far. So I for that time, I'm saying, you know, that was fine to put in then in terms of pointing out how like ridiculous that is. And I only thought about, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that wouldn't land as well today because it's so wide, they're more widely accepted. Mm. Everyone is a little bit more widely accepted. So, and you can watch it now and be like, oh, that's a little dated because,
right,
you know, we've come a little bit further. So, yeah, the only scene though, I again don't know if I would have taken it out, but I don't know if this is gonna get me canceled. LOL, I have no followers, but I
follow you.
Thank you. I had a hard time watching the scene where they were running around naked. Not like
that was even the one scene I was actually dying laughing out loud.
No, me too. I was dying, but like it wasn't even when they were in the bedroom. I got uncomfortable when they ran out of the hallway, and knowing how these movies are made, I was like, some people are gonna see them, and I just like got really worried. I got so worried.
The secondhand embarrassment kicks in real hard.
No, like so much. I was like, oh god, like the poor ladies in the elevator.
I know, I did feel bad. Hand
to that man's face, which was gold. That was so amazing.
I did feel bad for those women. I was like, well, basically everybody in that elevator. Nobody asked to be stuck in an elevator with naked people. So
I know
that's just very uncomfortable.
And then I had, but this is such a weird take, but I had a moment of like, I don't know that actor's name and I forget his name in the movie, but the guy who's not Sacha Baron Cohen, I felt
his
a
producer.
Weird okay, yeah. I felt a weird sense of pride for that guy because I was like, different body types, like for men and women. Like, I weirdly was like, hey, man, like, yeah, I realize that we barely see, you know, we tend to see more. Oh, I don't even know what point I'm making.
That Borat is a body positive movie.
Well, yes, but I was trying to say, like, you tend to see more male genitalia, but that's not true. So, anyway, I felt a weird sense of pride for that guy just because, you know, I want to fight for, you know, putting all body types, all types of people on screen. And, you know, a lot of that issue gets talked about in terms of, like, you know, women on screen. But I, like, had a moment where I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a man that fat on screen, like naked. And like, I mean, yeah, that was part of the shock value, but I was like, go you. Like, I don't know. I know that's just the weirdest thing, but I don't know. I was weirdly like happy about it.
I would highly recommend, not just for you if you haven't seen it, but for our listeners as well, the, I think it's the Golden Globes. Yeah, Borat definitely didn't win any Oscars.
No.
I think I would have mentioned that at the top if it had. In, I think, Sacha Baron Cohen's acceptance speech for some award he won for Borat. I don't know if it was starring in it or writing it, but he wins an award for it and he thanks. The entire speech is basically him thanking his co-star, his producer in the movie, for being able to do stuff like that with him. It's really funny and hilarious.
I mean, that is impressive in a lot of ways. I applaud. Yeah. I applaud both of them.
Also, I love it. Imagine, I was thinking, like, what if you're someone's date or you're their, you know, child and you're, or, you know, whatever, partner, and you're getting dragged to this boring fucking mortgage broker's event at some,
I
Podunk Hotel, and it's like, crashed. You're waiting for this night to be the most boring fucking night, and then what happens midway through? Two naked men from Kazakhstan come in fighting and wrestling with each other.
I mean,
what a night.
Like, they should get Oscars just for not breaking. Like, everyone on SNL is super talented, but like those guys have nothing on these two. There were so many moments where I was like, he's a genius actor. Mm-hmm. He's just a master of not breaking character. And
he really is, yeah.
I like, oh my God, the one where he's like, the moment where he like looks this lady in the face at the feminists thing, and he's like, hey, pussycat, smile more. I'm like, he has to look her in the eye. Like,
I think too, as a viewer, you're like, that's so fucked up, but I'm laughing. What the fuck's wrong with me?
I'm like, I'm laughing. This whole movie is me laughing in spite of myself. Right? Like, I'm just so, yeah.
I thought the dinner scene, I don't know what seat but when he brings his date for the night in. I forget her name even in the movie. What's her name?
L something?
Luenel.
Yes.
Luenel, yeah. When he brings Luenel to the dinner party, that looked like the boring fucking party, may I say.
I know.
And before that, everybody's super nice to him. They're showing him how to wipe his literal ass after taking a shit. Like, being so, frankly, more gracious and polite than you would expect. And then the moment a prostitute walks through the door, they're like, no.
That one guy, party over. Pastor guy, he's just like, I'm calling it a night. Yeah.
Yeah. But that moment too, sorry, there's a scene before she even arrives, and the pastor's wife, it's made clear, like, who's whose date. And Borat's like, in Kazakhstan, my people go crazy over these two. You?
Not so not much her. This other one.
It's like, how can you say that? How can you not break? How can you just stay in character? It's amazing.
I would feel so guilty.
Yeah,
that scene is just, there's so many moments like that. But quickly back to the fighting scene. I was just impressed with also this sounds weird, but like the choreography. Like, yes. Someone had to be like, okay, we need to get them into all these sex positions while fighting. And like, how are they gonna like do that? And did they have body double? Like, I'm actually like so impressed about this scene. Like, it was, I mean, that's like impressive. They
Sacha Baron Cohen is a method actor, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, but that other guy, I mean, he's in Cobra Kai, by the way.
Oh my God, another plug. I need to watch it.
I'm plugging it too much.
Maybe Anchor will pick up that we've mentioned it so many times that they'll be like, next sponsor. Promote season 3 of Cobra Kai.
By a TV show? Maybe.
That would be fucking awesome.
I feel like you watch this movie and then you kind of like forget about it. And then when you discuss it, you're like, oh my God, I forgot about all these things.
No, that's true though. On the second watch, that scene, when I first watched it, which I watched Borat for the first time with my dad.
Oh no.
And that scene was,
I mean, your dad is fun, but I
my dad had never seen it. I had never seen it. We did not see that coming. And while it was funny, it was very awkward and almost didn't finish the movie because of it. But watching it a second time, I think I was so sort of in a state of shock that I like disassociated and was just like, this is ridiculous. I'm watching with my dad. I can't compute anymore. But now watching it a second
time,
it's worse
than watching like a sex scene, honestly.
It kind of was.
I don't know.
On the second watch alone, like a good 10 years older, I did notice how choreographed that scene is.
I was
in a way that I was like
impressed.
I was impressed too. I'm like, okay, you got the 69, you got the,
I mean,
the doggy style. You got these sex positions like kind of down. And you know what? I respect the commitment to the art, to the act, and to it's effective. but yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous and insane. But I do think that's the most sort of talked about outrageous scene in the whole movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think if the whole movie was like that, I would have been a little bit, but I feel like the other parts of it, you know, there are lessons to be learned or something like that. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, sort of similar to that. And if this is, if that scene's your answer, it makes total sense. But like, what was your most jaw-dropping moment watching the movie? Like, what scene or maybe what line or what interaction just made you go, holy shit, they said that? They did that?
I mean, okay, excluding that naked fight scene. Because that, I think, was the, that was the cherry on top of the whipped cream on top of the sundae. Okay, so I always, or when I'd seen the second movie, I was appalled by this stuff too. And again, in the first one, I think just a lot of his one-on-one interactions, where he's with the driving instructor or he's with at the car dealership and he's just saying the most ridiculous things. And I am always just so kind of shocked and impressed or confused by what the other person says back to him. Like, I'm just always like, if I was in that scenario or if any normal person was in a scenario where someone was saying things like that, what do you do? And part of me is like, oh my God, these people are crazy. They're answering his questions. But I'm like, I guess what else would you do? So it's just, I mean, things like that where he's making the humor coach and he's making the joke about no, I fucked my mother-in-law. And then he's like, well, is that a joke about your mother-in-law? And he's like, no. And then he's like, okay, well, you wouldn't say that in America. I don't know. I mean, those things aren't the most crazy of everything, but oh, okay. I guess the craziest thing, because I wasn't sure if it was real and maybe you can confirm it. When he puts the bag on top of Pamela Anderson, was she in on it?
Okay, that to me is my most holy shit moment besides the naked fight.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. And I feel like it's been around now for 15 years. We should know, just maybe by word of mouth, if that was real or not.
I want to know if she was in on it.
I can't say.
Oh my God, that's the biggest mystery.
The Wikipedia doesn't say that it was.
That she was in
on it? Oh, wait. Okay. According to Wikipedia, under their production section, except for Borat, Azamat, Luanel, and Pamela Anderson, none of the characters are portrayed by actors. So, okay, those four.
Okay.
Which now makes sense given that that's what Wikipedia lists them as the stars. Most scenes in the film are unscripted.
So
in most
she wasn't in on it. I mean, that was...
Okay.
It would have been funnier if she...
All right, so that makes... I mean, I rewatched that scene because I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And watching too, you're like, why isn't there more security? Why isn't he getting arrested by...
Well, he did. But the one thing...
It was just, I think, security bringing him into potentially... Well, I mean, none of it's real. But I was just like, why isn't there more people here to protect her? She is quite vulnerable in this moment.
I guess
moment.
They had a book signing or autographs. I guess.
But you don't go there thinking someone's going to try to kidnap me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what slightly gave it away, even though I wanted to believe it was real so much, what slightly gave it away was her, or maybe it was a body double of her, but her character, Pamela Anderson, running through the parking lot, I think without her shoes on. And I was like, I was like, I don't think she would just be running aimlessly through the parking lot if that actually happened to her.
He also probably had to get her in on it so that he wouldn't get sued.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's definitely gotten sued so many times by other people.
Also, I mean, he's done ridiculous things, but that's assault. I mean,
yeah,
I guess he's done
it's assault, kidnapping, and probably 50 other things. So,
yeah,
that was probably the incentive is let's just not have legal issues with this.
Yeah, that's good on.
And in a way, it's more fun. it is more fun. Fun maybe sounds bad, but it's less awkward and less out. It's still outrageous, but it's, you don't need to feel as bad laughing or feeling like this is insane, knowing she's mm-hmm. in on it too. Because then you are watching an attempted kidnapping. Then you are watching something that is not, you know, agreed upon.
Then you really don't feel okay about it.
Right, right. So, you know, I guess I appreciate their due diligence with that. But yeah, prior to knowing that fact, I was like, that scene is really insane.
Yeah, I think that that's amongst a good, accurate, most jaw-dropping, except for naked fight scene.
Right. But then it's like, I think about all the other scenes too, where he's like, what's the best protection? What's the best kind of gun to protect me from a Jewish person?
And then the guy just answers him.
He's just like, yep. Like, and the...
Like those things just... My mind just like...
Right. It's I think what's so... Like, and like the frat brothers, the frat bros.
Oh, I hated those guys. That one guy is like insane.
Like the casualness that people just are like, no, I would never do that. Or like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like in response to some extremely ridiculous questions, their cavalier and nonchalant responses are like just as chilling.
Yeah. I hated the guys on the... Why were they driving an RV? Like, who are these assholes? And, oh my God, like, the when they were, like, they ask him about, like, the women in Russia, because, like, LOL, they, like, think he's from Russia. Right. And they ask him about, like, the women as slaves, and then they're, like, describing, like, why we needed slaves in this country, and then why we still do, and that just, like, made me so uncomfortable. As it should, but you're just like, oh my God, like, and I was like these are now 15 years older, but these are the people that fucking stormed the Capitol building. I'm like, these are the crazy asses that like don't give a shit and only really care about themselves. I mean, it's so just upsetting.
No, I mean, or they've completely changed and are now trying to,
well, I hope,
right their wrongs.
I hope for their sake, but our sake too.
Right. Well, and at the end, before Borat leaves the RV that they're on, one of the guys is like trying to give him some like emotional pump up speech about how don't ever let a woman change you
or like affect who you are. Who broke up with him before this RV trip? I know. I was like,
dude, you are. Yeah, you need to do some self-reflection. Like, I thought that was hilarious. Just because, like, again, like, that to me is so overt misogyny that it's like, this is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, I know people exist out in the world who have these views, and it's unfortunate, but I know it's real. And it's at that point, you kind of do need to take a step back and just, like, this is insane. And, like, this is just, you know... kind of comical that you can really believe this shit, that you really think this is true, that women don't deserve your respect, et cetera, et cetera. And that with really anything else. Mm-hmm. But again, it's also the less overt things that are almost more uncomfortable, I find.
Yeah. I mean, again, that like rodeo scene when that guy right. is like, you look like a Muslim. You have to shave your mustache because then you might look like at least like an Italian. And I'm like, first of all, Italian. But no, that just, I mean, he's like just saying it right out loud. And then you're, I just, it's wild. Oh my God.
But also I'm realizing it now, go Pamela Anderson for being like, yeah, I'm down for you to kidnap me and to be in on this. Like,
yeah, good for
that's
her.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing that I did find, I know we've been, you know, kind of shitting on a lot of the people in this documentary and, or this, LOL, this documentary, this movie.
I mean, some could call it that.
Yeah. But one thing I just did find kind of heartening, or like just heartwarming, is that everyone seemed so welcoming initially, at least before he did something crazy. Everyone seemed welcoming of Borat a little bit. You know, they welcomed him in and they were like, sure, learn about this. Let's, you know, we'll teach you about this. And
wear your pants like this.
Yeah. I mean, it did get a, you know, that was nice to me to see.
Right.
Like how enthusiastic and how excited Americans were to like have this foreigner be interested in our country. But then it became, you know, like at the dinner party scene, it was like, how do we Americanize this person? And then it was like, oh,
yeah.
That's like, yeah. That's where it like derails for a lot of the situations. But I mean, I'm not a fan of the like evangelicals, but I did find that whole thing heartwarming in the context of the Borat story where I was like, okay, well, like they're trying to help him in their way. I don't know. But I was like, man, it's a whole world that I am not familiar with at all.
Well, I probably should have said this at the top, but you know, clearly Jesus is the reason. Borat found God, and so once he finds God, he's able to have a purpose in life and really That's get true. The love of his life, which is Linnell, not Pamela Anderson, and he regains his friendship with Azamat. And yeah, so it's really thanks to Jesus Christ that Borat, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
He's really the hero of this movie. No, I agree. I did pick up on that, and I can appreciate it too. However, I have to believe that there were other people they met that were not at all welcoming or warm or gave a shit about him. And so
for sure, that's probably stuff that it was
mostly Yahoo maybe was edited out. Willing to like take us in and give us at least a little bit of time. Because I have no doubt that there were people that were like, fuck you. And I think, you know, it's hard to watching this movie. I don't know if you felt the same way in the second one, or watching the second one, the line between, you know, actual violence that's going to be inflicted on him because that person is so upset, or, you know, it's all just kind of in good fun and they're told about it later. And so it's never going to escalate that far. That it can get really kind of confusing, or it's unclear, you know, and it's sort of all about the editing at that point of like where they're going to cut the scene. But there were times when you're not really sure if he's in danger, and he probably was, and it's just, it's not part of the storyline. So we're not really going to know, but you know, he gets himself into some really kind of gnarly situations.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the second one, which I think is also part of why this reason is also a part of why I think I like it a little more, but you'll understand when you watch it, Av. But the second one dials that up, I think, about 10 notches. Like,
whoa. It goes to 11.
They go really hard and go, you know what they're trying to say. You know, like, who they're trying to sort of play the joke on. And he gets in like crazy dangerous situations. And I mean, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how they like made that movie. That alone is impressive. Like, I mean, anyway, so yeah, I think that stuff does land, and like just having it even dialed up in the second one is like insane.
Another plug to go see that movie.
I know.
Now that you've seen it and knowing how talked about, kind of pervasive it was 15 years ago, but a couple years after that too, it hasn't really left our pop culture. It sort of has just stayed. It's not as talked about as much. But do you think it was overrated? Do you think it was overhyped? Or do you think it's actually justified in how much it's talked about, how much it's within our culture? Or do you even think it's not talked about enough now?
I think for the time it was absolutely, you know, I think it was hyped enough, but I don't think it was hyped for the right reasons, or at least maybe I didn't understand at the time why it was so hyped up. And yeah, I mean, I think that this sort of commentary on our own country is important and is like always going to be relevant. So I am like impressed that they were doing it, you know, way back. But, you know, obviously there's been comedians who've built on those sort of tools throughout history. But I just mean like, I think it was like appropriately hyped for the time, but I may not have understood what all the hype was about. And again, I still think it's still misbranded a little bit. And then I don't want to like talk about the second one too much. But again, with that one, I think it was hyped, but I think because there was so much happening last year and a lot happened right after that movie came out, that it's sort of like on nobody's mind anymore, which I mean, there are kind of more important things going on, but I think I would, you know, argue that just as like a movie about the times that we were in, that one will, I think, maybe be important, maybe even down the line, kind of looking back. And this one, like, I don't know if it, other than like some of the jokes that felt like dated, weirdly, I almost felt like it was timeless and then it had no time. Like, I feel like I can't look back.
Yeah.
Other than maybe like, yeah, like some comments he was making about George Bush or the Islamophobia. Like, I feel like it isn't totally encompassing of the like cultural like mindset. Like, it wasn't like what everyone was kind of focusing on. Whereas the second one, because everything was so hyped up with just, you know, the Trump era, it was focusing, it was tapping into that cultural emotion that everyone was like feeling in the past few years. So yeah, also like sidebar about him and Trump, I loved how this was before the Trump presidency, like way before, and
10 years before.
Yeah, and he is fully like taking a dump outside Trump Tower. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? I was like, did I watch the wrong movie? Like, it's so great.
Yeah, I appreciated that scene. There isn't a whole lot of other questions I have. Again, I feel like this movie does a lot of explaining for you, and
yeah, it's, I understand why it's hard to talk about this movie, because again, other than like dissecting every scene or every joke, you're kind of just going to be like, yeah, that was funny. That was uncomfortable. That joke is weird because of this. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I could sit here all day and point out like just different things about it. Oh, like other scenes that kind of stood out to me. This one I just thought was funny, and I felt really bad for the antique dealer when he breaks all the my heart, like, stopped. I was like, oh my god, this poor man and his business. Like,
is it bad that I didn't feel bad for him?
No, I mean, no, I think I just, because I knew that it was a joke, like, I was like, you know that you're like just, but like, yeah, I don't know, I was like, oh my god. And he, like, the antique guy doesn't know that he's like trying to break more things, and I'm sitting there being like, oh my god, just get up, like, you only broke the lamp, okay? And then he like falls into the plates, and I'm like, oh my god, don't break anything else. Like,
I did feel awkward, like, this is so cringeworthy, but sort of also kind of, I can't look away. And I also knew they must have prepaid the guy, whether it was the 400, whatever he was asking for, and some other means, like, he got what was due.
Maybe
they definitely recouped him what he lost, but I don't know, I just didn't feel bad. But I could also see that scene as like, is he just going in there to like cause havoc? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we really learning about America from this scene? Maybe not really anything.
Yeah.
Other than that he's clearly pro-Confederacy. And
oh, yeah, that didn't...
That is extremely...
It's our heritage.
Yeah, uncomfortable and wrong, but... So, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was, like, seeing those shots, which are clearly placed before you see him break stuff. That definitely made me kind of like, I don't really care if this guy's stuff gets broken.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I just, like, felt bad because I knew he was doing it on purpose. Like, weirdly, this is, like, bringing me back to, like, a discussion we had about Do the Right Thing, about, like, the destruction of property and, like, when it's... But I don't know. I just... I understand maybe I'm taking a different side on this than I did before, but I felt a teeny bit bad for the antique dealer in that instance.
I think he didn't place his stuff in a way that was wide enough, or...
They never do. I'm surprised that more things don't break in those shops.
It looks really confined. That's probably how they
make a lot of money. Because who's like really buying a lot of antiques?
You know? I feel like, yes, clearly he was trying to break shit, but I almost don't think he had to try that hard to... A lot of that shit was just there and ready for the breaking.
Yeah. Some of this, just in terms of the production of this movie, I would love to just know, and I don't know if you know this, but like, I'm just commenting on, I would love to just know more about, like, did they have production scouts? Did they how many places did they edit out? Like, you know, what scenes were cut? And did they have sort of like a rough outline of where they wanted things to go? I mean, I think they did. But I will say, like, plot wise, like, sometimes it was getting a little muddy for me. I was like, I had forgotten, like, why he was in America anyway. And I was like, wait, are you making this documentary? And then what's it for? And then, you know, he gets derailed by trying to go see Pamela. I guess just those are just some comments just about, like, things that aren't, like, the humor in the movie. And again, with the second one, I think that the second one is a little bit more linear and has a clearer storyline than this one.
Interesting that you mention the location, because I don't know if they had location scouts. They must have, I would think.
Yeah, because you're like, how do you, like...
Right.
Like, how do you figure out that there's a bed and breakfast owned by these two people with all these paintings? Like, there's part of me is like, how were they just stumbling upon this? And then were those guys, they actually must have hitchhiked, but like, how long were they hitchhiking for? And like, did they want a certain type of person to find? Like, I just, things like that, I'm like, wow, they got gold here, and like, or they got really lucky. So that I just find impressive. And also, like, how was it done? I just kind of want to, like, I wish I knew.
Looking at the Wikipedia, I'm not seeing that specifically mentioned, but I'm sure you can find it. We can find it elsewhere on the internets. But it does say that Kazakhstan wasn't actually depicted in the movie. It's Romania, which makes sense given all the,
I do wonder. I was like, did they actually go to Kazakhstan and... I wrote down, I mean, I know the movie's about him, like, going to America, but afterwards I was like, I wish I knew more about Kazakh culture. I wasn't expecting that really from this movie, but it was a passing thought that, like, oh, I really don't know anything about this other nation. And I feel like also that happens a lot where, like, you know, people from all over know a lot, even if they haven't visited this country, they just know a lot about America, and they know a lot about our culture or our movies or our TV, or they know our music. And I don't know a lot about a lot of other countries in terms of their pop stars. I feel like England, you know, there's crossover, Australia, but like, I don't know, like, the first five people that are, like, top in Bollywood right now, or, like, any other, like, movie-making industry across the world. So it's just, like, things like that where you're like, whoa.
Well, that's because America is the greatest country in the world. So why do we need to know about others?
Why would we need to know anything else? Right.
We are joking, of course. America kind of sucks. So, at least I think it does. All right. So I think we're about to wrap this up, but just some last things of note. There was so much about this movie I didn't remember that it kind of did.
Again, like what?
Just, I totally forgot that, like, his life in Kazakhstan, even though we now know it's not Kazakhstan, it's Romania. The some of the scenes down south, especially, which at the end of the day, this movie isn't really like a trek across America. It's really a trek across the mid-Atlantic and the south into the West Coast. So yeah, like the, you know, Pacific Northwest, the Midwest, flyover country. There's like a whole chunk of the country that just doesn't get included at all, which maybe that's a different movie. If it does, maybe it's not, but that was just something I picked up on. I'm like, this is really just like a commentary on part of the country, not the entire country.
That's true.
The driver, when he learns how to drive, is not an awful person. He's a decent man. Like,
oh my god, wait, yes,
he like said a couple of things. I was like, thank you.
I appreciate that. About that until just now. He was like, no, you need consent. Like,
and he's like, yeah,
this man has to say. I mean, good for him though. Like,
when Bort's like, will we be boyfriends? And he's like, yeah, I'll be your boyfriend. I'm like,
good. I know that guy.
Nothing to be ashamed of there.
No, I did like the driving instructor. And then he's like rolling up his window. He's like, no, no, you can't say that. You can't say that.
Also, women do not love Hummers. I don't know what the fuck that car salesman was talking about.
Oh my god, the chick magnet joke, that was so funny. He's like, but like, again, what is this guy supposed to do in this situation? I'm sitting there like, how would I even have this conversation? And then this guy's like, just, they answer so matter-of-factly. They're like, there's no such thing as there's no actual magnet, but like the vehicle will bring people to it like a magnet. You're like, what?
Or when Bort asks him, like, how many miles do I need to be going to, like, kill a person, to run them over?
Oh, and my he's God. Just like, and he just says, you know, it.
I think about 40 to 30
miles.
He's
like, in this one, like, you could go 35. And he's like, oh, very nice, very nice.
Again, it's just insane.
I know. I don't know if it's like they're so shocked by it that they like disassociate and they're like, I guess like hypothetically, like you just don't know what's going on in their own brains. But I just, I like in this movie, the shock value of just these other normal people like reacting to him so matter of factly. Like you're like, what?
Right.
What is happening? Yeah.
I think it's safe to say this movie really works because of the reactions it gets from the people it's depicting.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as funny. It's not going to be as shocking. It's not going to be as thought-provoking if you don't get the kinds of reactions, responses, commentary that you do from these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, just as another comment, like, about the movie as a whole, though, it is weird, like, I don't know why, or it is weird just having almost difficulty talking about this movie. Like, yeah, there isn't that much to say, but it's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just have to like share that experience or have shared the knowledge that like you've seen it with someone, and then, you know, just go from there. Like it is so nuanced, which is why maybe it's very easy to be misrepresented, which is kind of a shame. So that was just my, like, one other thought on this. Like, I feel like we're sort of, not stumbling, but, like, this is, I think, one of our more difficult episodes just to, like, find things to kind of point out about the movie and, like, just specific things to go over in depth.
I agree. I think, again, the movie sort of speaks for itself. And without the people it depicts, without the reactions, as horrific, upsetting, awful that those reactions are, I don't know if you get the same effect just watching Borat be Borat for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's only so funny and interesting and engaging. Yeah, so
the tension comes with him interacting with the with real people,
right?
And how, again, it's the being in on the joke, it's the feeling uncomfortable, it's all that like mockumentary stuff where it's like, you know, why it's funny and uncomfortable to watch The Office. Like, it's so that type of humor. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just it is so funny to watch, though.
I really
hope. And have him not break.
Yeah, I really hope he later apologized and let that really cute couple in on the joke, because they were so sweet. I like couldn't get over that.
I know some of them,
they're like walking up the stairs with a sandwich and cake. I was like, and like the wife is talking about all the like her beautiful paintings. Like I just was obsessed with them. They were so cute and so sweet. I think they showed him the most, you know, love and compassion and openness than anybody else, maybe other than Lunel.
Yeah.
In the movie that they stole my heart and they're adorable. And I really hope that he didn't actually flee their home and never gave them a clue about what was going on.
I know. I kind of feel like that with like, how does everyone involved know that they're, what do they tell? That's what, again, right? Like production wise, like what do they tell people when they have to like make an appointment, or like when the congressman has to talk with them, like what do you say to get in the room? And then, like, what do they think this is? Ooh, I am so sorry. My cat just jumped up on my lap. Miles, say hi to the podcast, buddy.
We have an official mascot.
We have a podcast.
We have a podcast. Everyone.
Yeah, Miles will be making future appearances, probably on the Instagram. He's in this FaceTime screen right now that we're in. But yeah, Miles the podcat will be making future appearances.
And on that note, I think that wraps up our convo on Borat.
Yeah, I guess so. Quick one, but also fine because last week was really long.
Well, I guess to completely wrap it up, would you recommend this to our listeners?
Yes.
If they haven't seen it.
I think I would recommend both. I would recommend starting with this one.
Mm.
Just to kind of get your feet wet a little bit. And then the second one, like, really turns it up a notch. And, yeah, I think it's just good to, yeah, it's a good, like, art piece. It's a good sort of different way of making a movie. It's, like, kind of that sweet spot of, like, an SNL sketch with the satire. And then also, you know, the cringiness of The Office. But, like, it's live. So, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, really good comedic stuff in it if you haven't seen it, and it's really worth a watch, and there are lessons to be learned, but it is also, you know, it's Borat, it's funny, but it is more than just this funny foreign guy trying to marry Pamela Anderson. So it is more than that, and it's definitely worth a watch,
especially now knowing she's in on the joke, so she's not really getting kidnapped.
Right.
All right. Well, that concludes our convo on Borat. Next time, we will be talking about Star Wars 7. Is that right?
Yes. Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens. I'm super excited. We're probably going to have a guest, but we aren't gonna give too many details just in case some things fall through. So in the meantime, we're just gonna say that we hope we have a guest next week.
Listeners, you may be hearing more than our voices. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, sounds so creepy.
Okay, yeah, I guess it does sound a little weird.
More voices in your head.
I have not seen Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens, so that's gonna be an interesting conversation to have.
I'm interested to just hear your thoughts on it compared to the first one. But anyway, we will. Oh, so excited to get into that next week. It's gonna be great.
Yeshimesh.
And with that, yeah, we wanna, you know, say thank you guys again so much for listening. As always, please follow us on our Instagram at SeenThatPod. And you can keep listening to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Please follow us on those platforms as well, so you get notified every time that there's a new Seen That episode. And remember, we're all in this together. Stay safe, wear a mask, and we love you guys.
I like Haley. I like you all. I like seeing that podcast. Yes, until next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.